C6, number 17A.
Well, the subject of this week is still structuring our consciousness according to the structure of the Christian Science textbook, or structuring consciousness according to the main categories of being that constitute our system of reference. Now, we have done in earlier years a lot of structuring already in a simple way, namely then when we have taken the seven synonymous terms and have blended them again with the seven synonymous terms. It was at that time where, over years and years, first John Dolly was giving the science of the Bible and showing there that many books of the science of the Bible were laid out in the 7x7, which is already a matrix. He didn't call it a matrix at that time, and with some reason, but he called it a layout. But actually what he was doing was showing the 7x7 relationship. Or in other terms, what is a matrix? A matrix, as we have seen, is the relationship of two categories or of two indices. Usually, when he was presenting the Bible as a 7x7 layout, then he had an index, say the seven synonymous term in the word order, as the dominant index, and then he showed the relationship of those seven again with the seven in the word order, bringing out in that way that the dominant, the index I, is the dominant, the main tone, he called it, and the J index, the seven, again in the word order, he called subtones. So that was his way of introducing really the interrelationship of the synonymous terms. We have then done quite a bit of these exercises at that time, that we also, for practical reason and for practice, we have taken perhaps a synonym and considered it in the seven subtones. How? By relating a synonym like mind with the other synonymous terms, so that we had mind as mind, mind as spirit, mind as soul, mind as principle, mind as life, mind as truth, and mind as love. And would go on then to spirit in the seven subtones, and so on. We went further at that time and were exercising this relationship not only with the synonymous terms but with ideas of the synonymous terms. For instance, we would have taken an idea of mind, like intelligence, and put it into relationship with spirit, with soul, with principle, life, truth, and love, and that already is a matrix, because every time one has an index, and if that index, say, has only one element, here, intelligence, still the moment you relate that with another index, you already have a one-column matrix. So very often, I would say, in our practice, by working out something, in those wonderful years at the beginning, we were sitting down and felt, here, the problem is intelligence. So we were pondering intelligence from the point of view of mind, that intelligence is creative from the point of view, say, of spirit, that this creative intelligence is spiritual and therefore the only substance. Then from the point of view of soul, we would see that that creative intelligence, which in spirit is substantial, is in soul unchanging. That intelligence doesn't come and go, that it is unchanging. We would see that from the point of view of principle, this intelligence operates according to a system. So we had, I always go through it again, if you don't mind, you see, we had the creative intelligence in mind that in spirit was substantial, spiritually substantial, in soul unchangeable, operating in principle according to a system. In life we could see that this intelligence is indestructible, eternal, timeless, therefore ever-present, just right at hand, and that in truth this intelligence would dispel every aspect of ignorance, because truth would be the dominion over its opposite and would dispel ignorance, so that in love we would feel that this creative intelligence, I go through it again, that this creative intelligence, which is only spiritual and therefore unchanging and operating according to a system, is bringing forth constantly an eternal idea of intelligence that would dispel all ignorance, and therefore in love would be seen as that intelligence which is always at the point of fulfillment, for instance. See. So in this way we did what we called it at that time, the blending of ideas. And we did it just as inspiration moved us to form such combinations. Now, this was the beginning of structuring consciousness. You could see we were not just satisfied with an atomistic idea that we said, well, intelligence is an idea of mind and therefore all is intelligence, and just left it at that point, which is right, but it's very atomistic. It has no structure within itself. So the first aspect of structuring actually is therefore bringing order into the subject and let the idea unfold according to a definite order. At that time also we were mostly following the word order, and in the word order mostly the order of the days of creation. That was our main touch of it, so that we would follow always more or less the days of creation order. But naturally, this is not the only possibility of presenting the word order. That was presenting the word order from the point of view of the word, but when we present it from another point, then naturally we do not have the days of creation order, namely the flow from one to the other in the way that there is a terrific expansion and expansion and expansion from the initial light until in love we get the perfect idea. The moment we consider other subjects, we naturally also must find another way of representing the word order. So what I propose to do today, this morning, is that we try once together if we could take up another subject than what we have been doing in blending ideas, but that we, instead of blending ideas, we once consider something different, namely how an idea dispels an illusion. Therefore, it is not so much the question of how an initial idea grows and grows and grows and grows until it gathers its completion, but that we once consider it from a different standpoint, that we consider that word order from the point of view of the Christ as that which dispels its opposite. That is another wonderful question, because in our life we know that very often we feel we have a problem, a negative problem, that we go to the right idea and find through mind reading the right idea, and then really should see that this idea is the savior to the problem. Or in other terms, we should not just say, oh well, this is wonderful, now I found out the right idea, and the right idea is always the answer for an illusion, and leave it at that. If we leave it at that, again, we only have stated an atomistic truth and not a structural truth. Therefore, I would like to make an exercise in structuring such a simple question as that an idea dispels an illusion. How could we do that if we want to take it in a systematic, big way? Well, therefore, what we could do is to say, now, what are ideas? Can you see the problem statement? How does an idea dispel an illusion? So that we have, so to say, two very different indices, namely an idea versus illusion, and therefore can say, what are ideas? And we can expand that and say, well, we have an idea of mind, an idea of spirit, an idea of soul, and of principle, and life, truth, and love. We have one index, but we can have another index, namely the index of dispelling. We said, how does an idea in regard to the illusion dispel that illusion? So that the dispelling process again is an index. And this dispelling process we can again elaborate and say, well, how does it expel? At the moment I ask, how does it? I ask again of a process, and therefore again I can see that by clearing up that process, I can go through the word order, but always with the view of how to dispel. Therefore, we can make a matrix, as you have in front of you, an empty matrix, and you see that one index, the index I on the top, has the synonymous term just to indicate where we are, and the index J has also the seven synonymous terms in the word order, the index J. We have indicated that one is the dominant and the other is the subtone by printing the synonymous term in the index I with capital letters, whereas the index J only a capitalized term. Can you see that? So this just means nothing else but the help to say one is the dominant and the other is the subtone. What is the dominant in our problem that we have stated? That the dominant is idea, illusion. That's the dominant. The process of dispelling is therefore subordinated to that idea. According to the idea, the process must be adapted and therefore subordinate. So the index J is therefore the subtone, and therefore would indicate the method of dispelling. We can easily bring that out clearly in the matrix, because we can, on the upper left corner, indicate the index I and J. The index I, that would be that index which is above that slanted line, and where we could write in what? Idea versus illusion. See? Idea versus illusion. What kind of idea versus illusion could we put in? Now you see, I try now to establish a matrix deductively. And so we can see, when we go through the index I, we have there mind, but it isn't the term mind that is important. It is now the idea versus illusion, the idea of mind versus illusion, you see. Therefore, here in mind, we just can take as an idea of mind versus what illusion. Let's take as an example that the counterfeit of the idea of mind is a wrong basis, namely a material basis. So we can write there under mind, we still know it's the idea of mind versus, and we can write in material basis. We take this as an example, that the idea of mind is the basis, and that the illusion is a material basis. So you write in there, in the index I, on the mind, material basis. Have you done that? Okay. In the index I, then let us see that if we would take another idea versus illusion, an idea of spirit versus what? We could here take a very important one, the illusion of substance matter, for instance. Substance matter. What do you say, matter substance? Substance, matter. Substance hyphen matter. Let's take then an idea of soul and its counterfeit. Perhaps here we can take once that the idea of soul is never in anything. So it is the idea of soul versus finiteness. Finiteness. Perhaps you make in parentheses, perhaps in, not in, that's finiteness. Because the idea of soul is always outside anything, outside limitation. So it resolves the illusion of finiteness. Let's take an idea of principle versus what? The idea of principle is really the authority. So versus what? Versus other authorities. Let's take other authorities. We go further along the index I and come to life. The idea of life. The idea of life, we know, is eternal, immortal. So it is versus what? Let's take versus mortality. Let's go to truth. In truth, we usually see that the idea of truth is really divine spiritual consciousness, and that this resolves what illusion? That it resolves, say, mortal consciousness. So let's put in versus mortal consciousness. We go to the last one on the index I, to love. The idea of love is really that great sense of oneness and unity, where love is coexistent with men. So this dispels, for instance, the illusion that man is separated from God. Therefore, versus man's separation from God. Man's separation from God. Yes? Can you see very clearly and simply what we have been doing? Something that you have done year in and year out, really. That we have known what is the idea of mind, the idea of spirit, and have also known what is the counterfeit, so to say, what is the opposite of this idea. And so we have taken here these opposites of the idea of the seven synonymous terms. We could have taken others, naturally, than these, because an idea of mind has also other opposites than just what we have taken. But I tried to take more or less the most fundamental opposites, the noumenon of opposites against the seven synonymous terms. So what we have done up to now is only that we have identified our index I. Now, in order to come to the process of how an idea is actually dealing with an illusion, would now mean that an idea dissolves or dispels or resolves an illusion. Therefore, the way these ideas are dealing with these opposites is a process of, let's say, dispelling. Therefore, the index J there underneath the slanted line on the upper corner could be called dispelling. Dispelling. Whereby you know that this again is only one term for many other terms you could take. You could take annihilates or dissolves or resolves or anything like that. It's a process that just would indicate how an idea deals with its illusion. So when you read that little upper corner, you have the problem stated, the problem of the matrix, namely idea versus illusion, idea dispelling illusion. Can you see that? And you can easily see that the one index is a statement, namely idea versus illusion is a statement, whereas the dispelling is a process. The dispelling is a process. And here, naturally, we come to a certain difficulty, if you may call it that way, or to a problem that needs more spiritual sense to state those seven steps of dispelling rightly. So those seven synonymous terms which we have in the index J would have to give a line or a process of the spelling. How could we state that? How could we state through the word order the steps that have to be taken spiritually in order that in our mind the illusion is dispelled so that only the idea remains and is unchangingly established. Therefore, perhaps here I have to help you a little bit, because you may not have thought about these things the way I have been doing over years. And so I propose a very scientific, because I know it's scientific, and I tell you later why I know it's scientific, a scientific process of dispelling. It's a step-by-step process that helps us to see, actually in practice, what mental steps do we have to take in order to see how an idea is actually dispelling an illusion so that only the idea is left. Can you see the problem? I think I have stated it quietly and patiently and slowly enough to get it. All right. What is that process?